This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 31 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Today our guests are Master Sergeant and his private. Here's our hosts, Woody and Lee.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another episode of the Kinky Cast. The Beast is on the road this week, and sitting across the table from me is Lee. How you doing, Lee?
I'm doing great. How are you, Woody?
I'm great. I'm even better after that.
Yeah.
Lee has brought us some special guests tonight.
I do, and I'm really excited. On the show tonight, we have Mr. and Mrs. Southeast Olympus Leather, and also known as Master Sergeant and Master Sergeant's Private. Hi, how are you guys doing tonight?
Hey there, we're doing great. So good to hear from you.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah, we hope that we can get some insight from you on what it's like to be in the lifestyle, let's say, as more mature people, because there's a lot of people coming into the lifestyle right now at, say, 50 years old. And 45, 50, that seems to be the ages that people are coming into it and wanting to know questions and wanting to know how to get involved or, you know, how to get spanked or whatever. They just want to know. Hopefully this show and you all will be able to give us some insight as to how you got started in the lifestyle, how you met, how long you've been together. And these are some things I want to cover right now. So, how long have you been together?
We've been together we actually met in October of 1998, but we didn't actually get together in the lifestyle until early part of 1999. Well, we met online in a vanilla chat room. We talked for the first couple nights, and we hit it off, and one thing led to another. We started talking on the phone, and then we actually met for the first time in November of 98.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been together in the lifestyle since January of 1999.
How did you go from a vanilla chat room to Mr. and Mrs. Olympus Leather?
Oh, that's a long, that's a good long one. Actually, I knew nothing about this when I met him. So he kind of reeled me in, and it started from there, and it has grown daily.
Did he broach the subject of, you know, the lifestyle? How did that happen?
When we were chatting in that vanilla chat room, I explained to her what I was into, because my screen name at the time was Navdom. And I explained what it was, because back then you could go into the Yahoo chat rooms, the DS ones, and but you could follow your friends if you could see that they were online. And I didn't want her to follow me into one of those chat rooms and not know what's going on. So on the third night, I explained to her what I was into, what I was looking for, and of course she didn't talk to me for 3 days afterwards. And then came back, and she said, "You can keep that all away from me. We can be friends, but just leave that away."
Oh.
So that's how it all started.
Yeah,
I was 100 miles away from him, so I had no intention of ever meeting him in person. So I figured, hey, what do I have to lose?
Right.
I can talk to him, and he can just keep that away from me.
Well, what was going through your mind when he told you about that? What did you think?
Oh, all I could picture, and I can still remember it as if it were yesterday. All I can picture is, oh my God, he's going to come kidnap me and he's going to throw me in this deep, dark hole with all these people in dark clothes doing horrible things to each other. And then after about 6 months, it was like, damn, when are you going to throw me in that hole, sir?
You don't have a hole? I have a deep, dark hole here.
Well, we don't have one of those dark, deep with the kind that I was picturing, but we have a good one anyway.
Oh. Well, good. That's good to hear. You know, a lot of people are probably going to, with the shades of gray that's going to be coming out next year in February, you know, I just watched the trailer of that movie.
Yeah,
and
did.
It's like, they're such teasers, you know. But it's going to make a lot more people wonder about it, you know, what's going on. And so I think that's going to be interesting, because I don't think they're going to be able to do exactly what we really do. They might play at it, I think, you know.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So you guys met online. Then you started talking on the telephone, and then you moved to face-to-face meeting. How did that come about?
I kept asking her if we could meet somewhere, and she kept putting it off and putting it off. And so I finally said, okay, next month on this date, we're going to meet in this location. You make sure you have a safe call. Make sure you tell them all my information so that, you know, that you feel comfortable and safe. Mm-hmm. She didn't know what a safe call was.
Mm-hmm.
So I instructed her what to do and how to do it, and we met for dinner.
Where?
It was halfway between where she lived and I lived. And not, it was in Coleman.
At a Cracker Barrel, no less.
So, and that's what, that was our first meeting. And it just, after sitting there, and the wait staff was wondering what was going on, because we sat there for about 3 hours just talking, sharing pictures of our family, and we went through that for quite some time. And then I was going to spend the night there in Coleman, and, you know, I already had a hotel room for me because I didn't want to drive back home that night.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I told her that if she wanted to, she can spend the night. If not, if, you know, there was no requirement for her to spend the night. It was totally up to her. But she did. We hit it off very well.
It sounds
like we've been together ever since.
That's wonderful, wonderful. Well, so how do you identify to the world and to each other?
He's master and I'm slave.
Okay, and that's to everybody.
We began with, well, not Vanilla's, but to everybody else, yes.
Oh, okay.
In the beginning, it was dominant and submissive, but we realized over the years, after listening to several presentations on master-slave relationships, we realized that that was our makeup, and we realized that that's really where we were. And from that time forward, we've been master-slave.
You met and you figured out that you liked each other. You moved on to a relationship, and that relationship has evolved over how many years now?
Almost 16.
November will be 16 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yes. Yes, it is. And it just keeps getting better. That's the good part. It keeps getting better.
Well, I know every time I see you two, there's always smiles on the faces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we're both, this is real to us. This is real life to us. This is not a play. This is not an act that we put on when we're around people that see us. This is the way we live, even when it's just the two of us by ourselves. So I think that's why our relationship has grown so much, and that's why we have such a good time with what we do, because it's real to us. You mentioned age earlier about the ones that are coming into the lifestyle now. We were both 55 when we started. We were right at that point that you mentioned that we were both 55, so it was a good time for both of us.
Yeah, and so now you're 70. You're each 70. You've been in the lifestyle for 15 years. So you've been around long enough to have seen all the changes in the last several years. And you know how big the community has grown, especially since the invention of FetLife. Do you see that the changes that are occurring in the lifestyle, in the community, are good or bad?
I think in most cases it's good, because it's a lot easier now for people that are coming into the lifestyle at this time to be able to find groups and people of like mind in their area. When I first started, it was more or less a word of mouth on where, you know, a meeting was going to be, and then you had to meet those individuals, and if they liked you, you know, they would, you know, give you the address of the location that it, the meeting was going to be held at. So it was a lot harder when I first came in, but it was easier compared to what happened, you know, what it was 30, 40 years ago, because back then it was really word of mouth, and you have to know somebody that knew somebody to be able to get the invitation to come out. At least I had the internet to do some searching to find groups in the area. But mm-hmm. now with the advent of the FedLife, it makes it that much easier, because you can click on locations, and you can break it down by state and then by city within that state. Mm-hmm. And you just click on that city, and you see these lists of people coming up. And if you look on their side, you can see their interests, and you can also go to groups in your area to find out what groups are available. And it's a lot easier for individuals now to come into the lifestyle and find what they're looking for.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you on all fronts. You no longer have to learn the secret handshake to be able to go to a club, a local community play space. And a lot of people have groups, and I know you two run a group in your area,
yes,
right?
Yes, they do.
And
yes.
I noticed that you were celebrating a 15-year anniversary of this group. Was that?
Yes. This month we celebrated our 15th anniversary. We started in July of 1999.
That
and,
is great.
We've been going strong ever since.
And actually, he and I are part of the core group that started the group in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty much the only two left from that core group that participates. The rest of them have gone on to other things or stepped away from the lifestyle, or just, you know, they don't have the need for it for, you know, many reasons. But mm-hmm. we have continued it. We have continued growing and trying to provide something for the community here, because there was nothing here.
Is this a social group?
It's an educational support group that we meet once a month on the third Saturday of the month. We rotate it at different locations, but it's always done in private homes. Mm-hmm. We don't have an actual space that we can call home, so we move it from location to location.
Mm-hmm.
We usually have a turnout of about anywhere from 15 to, this past weekend when we had the meeting, we had 45 people
wow.
in attendance.
That's quite a group for a house, private home.
Yes, it is. But it's all we have, so we make it work. And for us, we feel it's been very beneficial for the community, because either that or they have to travel to Nashville or Birmingham or Atlanta. So it works. We bring in people from different parts of the Southeast or further still to do presentations on subjects that interest our community. And mm-hmm. we feel like we've brought something special over the years to this community, and we're very proud of it.
And you should be. To keep a group together for 15 years, that's a big feat to have accomplished. And
we're the second oldest active group in Alabama, following very closely behind the Red Chair in Birmingham.
Wow.
They're about a year or so older than us. And that's where we got our start, and that's where we got the idea, and we patterned ourselves pretty much after the Red Chair.
Well, that's wonderful. So other things that you have done during your 15 years is, when I introduced you, I said you were Mr. and Mrs. Southeast Olympus Leather.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us, number one, what is that?
Okay, it's a title. You have to compete for it. The event is held, Olympus is held at DomCon in Atlanta every year.
Mm-hmm.
You go through an entire weekend of being judged by a panel of judges, usually five judges. You're judged on your fetish wear. You're judged on your the way you interact with number one, with the judges and with the community at large. On the night of the contest, there's also the hardest part to me was interview in front of the judges. You stand in front of those five judges, and they ask you questions. And that's one of the higher parts of the contest, higher points. And the night of the actual contest, you do a fantasy scene. And you do like the Miss America, the funny question and the serious question on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you have a basket auction. You get contributions from all over the country. People that love you send you stuff so you can auction off your basket.
Uh-huh.
And you auction off, trying to raise money for a travel fund is a basic purpose of having the baskets. And the more you get, the higher your points, you know, your score is.
Mm-hmm.
And how you go about auctioning them off. It's a fun weekend, and now that we look back on the weekend, both of us, of course, were scared to death each time, but we look back on it and see that people had told us in the beginning, just be yourself and enjoy it, and the judges will get what they need from just watching you. And obviously they do. So
there was one other thing. It's a leather contest, and in order to actually hold a title, it's based on 1,000 points, and you must obtain at least 750 or more points in order to win the title.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we both ran unopposed, but even though we were unopposed, we still had to get that 750 points in order to win the title.
Okay. And so as title holders, do you travel? Do you go to conferences?
We do all of that. There are certain events that we are required to attend, which are other contests held in the Southeast. And then mainly we travel to either small groups, large groups, intermediate groups. We promote a positive image for the leather lifestyle. We present classes. Just travel around as much as we can mm-hmm. and get as many people informed about what Olympus Leather is about.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you did the international contest as well?
Yes.
Yes. International is held out in Los Angeles, and we competed out there in L.A., and that was in the month of May.
Okay.
But fortunately or unfortunately, neither of us won. But we had a really good time competing, and we met a lot of really, really interesting people,
mm-hmm.
a lot of leather people that we would not have had the opportunity to meet if we had not done it.
Yeah.
I think we were both so totally tired by the time the weekend was over because it is very intense, but we wouldn't take it back for anything. We really enjoyed it, and we had a good time being there representing the Southeast, and that was what our purpose was.
It's always good when you can go and do something with like-minded people and you enjoy yourself and have a good time doing it.
Yes.
I noticed that you, Master Sergeant, that you are into making toys. And
yes.
You have your own website that we are going to link on our links page so our listeners can go to it and see what you have to offer and maybe learn a few things. So what kind of things do you make? Are all these toys for the lifestyle? Are they things that you make by hand? Or tell me a little bit about them.
The items that I sell are rattan, and I sell the rattan in the natural state. I get it from a vendor in California,
mm-hmm.
and I basically get the rattan, soak it, straighten it out, shape it, sand off the ends, and get them nice and straight as possible so that I can sell them. Then I also do dragon tails, which I make. They're wooden handles and the leather. My dragon tails, most everybody has their dragon tails already put together. Mine are kept apart so that the individual can actually pick out the handle that he likes and then the leather that he wants to go with it, and then I'll put it together for them right then and there so that they have something that is more personalized to what they like versus I can put it together, but I would put it together on what I would like. This gives the customer a chance to make their selection. I used to make paddles, but I've stopped making paddles. I now work with another individual, and we make paddles together. And the other item that I sell are my branding sticks. That's one of my favorite classes right now is the branding class.
Uh-huh.
I sell the branding sticks that I make myself, and those are the items that I sell on my webpage.
Oh, okay. So branding is something that you're into? personally?
Oh, yes, very much so. I cover all forms of branding, multi-strike, the single strike, electrical branding, and freeze branding.
Oh, that all sounds really interesting. And you give classes in your local area or all over the country?
I've given this from Virginia to Hawaii and from Florida and next month up in Canada. So I travel all over for this.
Wow, that's wonderful. I'm glad to know that you're out there teaching new people or old people. You know, we can all learn something new each and every day. And going to classes and learning skills and learning safety to me, and should be, in my opinion, to everyone, the most important thing is safe, sane, and consensual. And that way we all stay healthy. So thank you for doing that. That's a wonderful thing.
Well, education has always been a passion of mine. I've always enjoyed, both of us, we both teach, mm-hmm. But we go out and we enjoy it. We based our group on the education when we first formed it because we felt that there was a need for education in our area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we started the group. But, yeah, we travel all over. She gives classes on submissives
in leadership.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And on relationships,
mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of the hands-on type classes with the implements that we use.
Speaking of your implements, I love the dragon tail that we purchased from you.
Oh, yeah, you've got probably one of the original ones.
Yeah, one year we went to the Toy Bazaar in Chattanooga, and you guys were there, and
yeah.
I wasn't lucky enough to see this scene that you and Master Sergeant did in person, but I was able to see the video of your hook scene. Is that what
suspension? Yes.
Oh my gosh! Ah, talk about spiritual. And moving, it brought me to tears. It was just, and in a good way, it was just beautiful. And trust me, I don't like, you know, the hooks in me. But watching that scene, Private, it was just the best thing. It was just beautiful.
Thank you.
And I really appreciated you doing that for us.
Oh, thank you. I love it.
Yeah.
I love doing it.
Yeah, and you could tell. I mean, the joy on your faces. And people who were there told me that it was bizarre in the room. It was like everything was happy. You know, everybody was just,
yeah.
It was just that kind of, it was the atmosphere, the energy. It was just positive and just love everywhere, and you know, it was just wonderful. And I just want to thank you for that. Really.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
But
maybe someday you'll be able to see one of them. I'm not going to stop yet just because I'm old.
Well, I hope not. Because a lot of people are out there, they're trying these things that they're seeing, you know, people posting pictures of, and they're going out and they're trying it. And my main thing is I want people to be safe, and I want people to actually get the education that they need before they start putting sharp utensils. Yeah, sharp objects.
Since you mentioned the hooks that brought mm-hmm. that up, I will expand on that just a little.
Okay.
Master has decided some time ago that since I enjoy hooks so much, he wanted to learn to insert them himself. He doesn't do the suspension because that takes a lot of training and a lot of a lot more time than we have to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
But he does put in hooks, and we do energy pulls or flesh pulls between myself and other people, or between other people. He doesn't do the hooks, but he mm-hmm. puts them in. And we thoroughly enjoy that. It's a Native American ritual. The hook suspensions are, and I think a flesh pull is a very spiritual event. A lot of people do that these days, and that's something that we have gotten quite fond of doing, and we do it as often as we can. But as long as there's space still left on my body where he can put a hook that hadn't already had one in the last 30 minutes, you know, we'll still do it. And one thing he just reminded me of, for my first year as competing for Olympus, my fantasy was involved hooks, and we were the first to use hooks in Atlanta for the Olympus contest, and then we did this same fantasy when we went to Olympus International in 13, and we were the first in L.A. to do hooks on stage for a fantasy. So we've stretched it out just a little bit, and we I think a lot of people really enjoyed our fantasy. It would take too long to explain it, so I won't try to go into that. But
yeah,
it did involve hooks, and it was a Native American type event. So it was wonderful.
I know from personal experience, we went to Frolicon one year. We were lucky enough to be a part of one of those spiritual hook flesh pulls or whatever you want to. It was a ritual where they put the hooks in her chest area, and she was dragging all her baggage around with her.
Yes.
And around the room, she would drop off something, you know, in her life that was weighing her down and give it to a friend. And the friend would say something, I think. And then at the very end, her husband was there, and she fell back and he caught her. And there was not a dry eye in the house. It was wonderful, wonderful. So I really appreciate that. That's just, it's amazing to be able to be a part of something that special. So I can imagine the people in L.A. were just, you know, really just amazed.
Yeah, I think we had a few tears in the crowd. Atlanta liked it. Actually, I think we'll have to do a step down when we at the end of our time, and our producer has asked us if we would do that scene again as our step down. Rather than do a step down speech, do a step down fantasy. So we're thinking of that. We might recreate it in October.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great. Where is that going to be at?
At DomCon in Atlanta.
That'll be the second weekend.
In October.
Okay, great. For our listeners, they can
search on DomCon, DomCon. It should come up.
Okay, all right.
There's a link on my FetLife that we're going, and you can connect to it, and it'll give you all the information that you need.
Okay, great, great, wonderful. New people coming into the lifestyle, a lot of people get mentors. Do you mentor anybody?
I do, in a way. I like to go about it a little differently. I don't like, you know, calling it mentorship. I call it, it's a form of mentorship. What I basically do is, if there's somebody interested in something that I do, let's just take needles, for example. If somebody wants to learn needles, I will sit down and work with them and instruct them privately and show them how to do different things. And then as they progress from one step to the next, I just watch their progress until they're ready, you know, to move on their own. So that's... it's a form of mentorship, but I don't like to call it mentorship.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more of a guidance than anything else.
Okay. So if someone new comes in to the community, what do you suggest, or where do you suggest they go to get acclimated, you know, before they meet someone, you know, before they get involved in a relationship? What is your suggestion to them? What do you think that their steps should be?
Well, like we tell everybody, and when they first come onto the FetLife and they introduce themselves that they're new to the group, we have a group here called NAPEX, and the private runs NAPEX. She is in charge of it. It's a munch group, and we advise everybody that's new, that's first coming out, to attend the munches first and get to know the people. Leadership usually is there, and leadership talks to them and finds out what their interests are. And we spend some time with them, talking to them, and we usually do that about for 2, maybe 3 munches, and then we have them join the group and also join the NASA group, the educational group, and encourage them to come out to the NASA meetings so that they can meet more of the people, because not everybody always attends the munches.
Yeah.
But we have a larger crowd sometimes at the demos, and we encourage them to come out, meet the people, and learn how to do what we do in a safe environment, and learn all the safety aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage this not only for the dominants, but also for the submissives, because the submissive should know as much, if not more, than what the dominant knows, so that if they're playing with somebody and they know that something's going wrong, they need to say something. They need to stop the scene, because if it's not being done safely, they could get hurt. And that's why I really encourage submissives to come to the demonstration so they can learn,
mm-hmm.
just like the dominant.
Oh, I agree with you, absolutely. Private, is there anything that you would like to say to submissive women out there?
Oh, my. that's opening up a can of worms for me, because that is my passion, too. We do have quite a few submissives in this area, and for the most of them now call me Nana Kink, because they know they can come to me if they have issues, whether it's private issues or if it's with someone in the community,
mm-hmm.
they can come talk to me. I don't claim to be able to resolve all the issues, but they have somebody to talk to. And I encourage the submissives to learn. Master says, they need to be as educated as the dominants. They need to know what is safe and what is not safe.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know about safe calls, about safe, sane, and consensual. They need to know the things that will protect them physically and emotionally and mentally. And that is what I strive to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've slowed down a little bit recently because we're beginning to take a little time for ourselves. It's something that we haven't done in the 16 years. I'm still available for them. They know how to find me. And even when we're not at home, they know they can reach me by phone. I just tell them to have a good time, but be safe.
Yeah. And that's all great advice. If someone wants to reach out to you all, is it okay if they send you a note on FetLife if they have questions?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay.
For me, right? For both of us, yes.
Okay, great.
And another thing that I do encourage the submissives, don't meet someone privately that you don't know. And we have a few in our community that have done that, and then they'll come tell us about it. And of course, we don't beat them up, but we do verbally. You can't do that, people. You got to know these people. But
yeah.
that is another thing that I strive to educate our, especially the younger submissives.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's, you know, we need people like you out there that's willing to step up and be a teacher to those of us who need teaching. So I appreciate that. Is there anything else that you guys would like to talk about before we close?
I think you've covered everything as far as I can remember. This has been a very interesting discussion.
So you guys have slowed down. So does that mean you're not going around to conventions and?
Oh no.
What we meant by slow down is we're slowly starting to mentor the other leaders that we got with us. on how the group is run, so that in the future, when we get ready to step back from the groups a little bit, they'll be able to pick up the ball and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do want to do a little more traveling and going to the different groups. We've mainly traveled through the Southeast, and with my work in other areas when I was still working. Mm-hmm. But now we'd like to venture out a little further in the different communities, actually go out west a little bit, up north, further south, and further west, you know. So that's what we meant by slowing down. But we just want to expand our travels a little bit more. In what just to give you an instance of what we've done so far with our titles, we both traveled well over 18,000 miles
this year, going to
to the different groups and conventions.
Wow.
And we're not finished yet, so.
Well, that keeps you busy then, huh?
Yeah, so, because we're going to be going up to Canada, go to their Olympus Leather Contest up there next month. So that'll add another couple, 3,000-4,000 miles to the tally.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a wonderful trip, though.
Oh, yes, we've been up there, but not in the area that we're going to, so we're looking forward to it.
Oh, well, good. And what about going out west to, say, Folsom? Have you been out there?
Well, one of the places that we'd like to travel to is Tribal Fire in, I believe it's in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that we've got on our list.
Okay, I want to thank Master Sergeant and Master Sergeant's Private for spending the last 30 or 40 minutes with us and sharing with us all their travels and experiences over the last 15 years. And hopefully we can do it again at some point and expand even further. So make lots of notes, Miss Private. And so we can have you back and hear about your Canadian trip and all your other trips that you take this next year.
Sounds good to me.
You have been listening to episode 31 of the Kinky Cast. Today we featured Master Sergeant and his private. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody and Lee, I'm Max. See you next week when we hear from Master Cecil of the Woodshed in Orlando as part of our Play Space Spotlight series.